Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha. Today is a great day in the studio. This is Lani Ka'a here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
We are here with The Good Life, a program that helps you unleash your God-given purpose. You know, one of the greatest devastations in our world today is genocide. Most of us will never actually experience the pain and the loss of such an atrocity. But our special guest, our very special guest today, is Pastor Emmanuel Muntangana. And he comes to us over the phone from Washington, D.C. He will share his life, the pain of genocide he personally experienced, and the love of God that has risen him and his spirit to change the world. We take a minute to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show. It is to lead you to the hope of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our only hope. We can testify to that, no matter what you are going through. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, for mine, for Pastor's, for Suzanne's. He shed his blood for all of us. He was buried, but he was raised again. We truly believe he is raised again to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. His mercies are new every morning, and we can receive that. Today, he is calling you. Our special guest, Pastor Emmanuel Muntangana, is the senior pastor of River City Church in Washington, D.C. He and his family, believe this, Suzanne, they escaped Rwanda during the time of the mass genocide in 1994.
Thank
We're going to hear a lot about that. Mm-hmm. He and his wife, Ko, have been pastoring in our nation's capital since 2010. Welcome to our show, Pastor Emmanuel.
Thank you so much, Dan, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you. We're blessed because technology allows us to do what we do here. You have so much to say, and we want to get right into it. Where did you grow up? Tell us about those early years and who influenced them.
Oh, great. Yeah, thank you for this opportunity to be on The Good Life, and I love the name Good Life.
Good life
is an awesome name. I love this, amen. And aloha.
Very well.
I grew up, this is the most fascinating story. In the genocide we just mentioned about didn't start in 1994. It started around 1959, 1963, 1967.
Wow.
And in the 90s, and became like a climax around in 1994. But my dad was a teenager, and then he started, they burnt their houses in Rwanda, and my dad and his dad escaped into Congo, DRC. And things settled a little bit, and we had some relatives who said, we're going nowhere, things will calm down. My dad came back. Things didn't get better. He ran to Uganda, and so as a refugee, he got a time to get married. Met my mom. Then they moved to Uganda. So I get born in Uganda as a young boy. But every day they're telling us about, this is not your home. You have your home is Rwanda. But we ask them, why can't we go? And he says, when you grow up, you will go. But we didn't know much of the details until later on. We had realized that if you're my tribe and you just happen to go there, you may not succeed. They'll kill you. So my dad puts us in school in Uganda. And then in the 67, we lost relatives. In the 90s, we lost relatives. And then in the 90s, we lost about 64 relatives.
Wow.
My dad died as a result of that. And they used to send up some people and kidnap potential Rwandans. So my dad was kidnapped as that, and they killed him. If I, by the grace of God, by the time the massacre happened, Dad had taken us out of Rwanda. Otherwise, I would not have the opportunity to be speaking in this world today.
Wow. Yes.
That's amazing.
My relatives are gone, and by the time the genocide finishes and things are still bad in 1994, I remember I was in Rwanda in 1994, but the streets were like ghost town. You had big fat dogs eating dead bodies. And I was a young boy looking for my mom, because I knew something told me my mom is still alive. So when I looked around town for about 2 days, eventually I met one guy I knew who was also a refugee in Uganda. He says, "Hey, I saw your mom on this side of town."
Wow.
And so you can imagine what joy filled my heart. Mm. And he took me where she was. When she saw me, she almost had a heart attack. And as a way of saying, she said, "My son, I know you love me so much." As a way of appreciation, I remember she gave me a camera for braving all those episodes to go find her.
Wow.
But it is by the grace of God that I'm still talking here today, as many of my colleagues in Rwanda who survived. It is by the grace of God that we're still alive, and we believe it's for a purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Emmanuel, then did you stay with your mom?
So I stayed with my mom, and my other siblings were still in Uganda. Mm. So I had to go back to Uganda, and she came and picked them all. They came back to Uganda, but because I was still in school, I asked her if I could stay behind so I can finish school.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed back in Uganda. And while I was there, I loved my dad. My dad was like a god to me. We used not to go to church. We used to not to, but they were nominal. We were just nominal. We knew we were Christians, but no one knew the sense enough to take each other to church.
Mm-hmm.
But, my dad had put me in a missionary school, and this missionary school, they used to teach the Bible, and there was a church nearby. And so my English teacher recruited me to go in the choir.
Mm.
Yeah, so my English teacher, somehow God used her as a guiding post towards my coming into relationship with Jesus.
Mm.
And you know, in African schools, if kids get naughty at school, they spank them. It's not like here, hey, you go in a corner, time out.
Mm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
In Africa, they spank you. So teacher Rachel was her name. She was an English teacher. I mean, she used to spank us. So when she said, "You're going to the choir," I knew if I said no, I'm in trouble. So I went. And when I got into the choir director was a believer. He knew Jesus. He loved Jesus. And he could teach songs and then get in the middle of the songs and stop and just start to share the love of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I didn't like him because he began to teach you need to forgive. And I don't believe he knew my issue. At that time, I was about 12 years old. And so he began to, I'll never forget one Tuesday. I still remember this Tuesday about 27 years ago. He said, "Vengeance is God's."
Mm.
And I refused. I left the choir because I loved my dad, and I knew I wanted to revenge for my dad. I wanted for him to be happy. Okay, I can repent after I've avenged my dad. Mm. But for 2 months I was away from the choir. Remember, teacher Rachel came back and she said, "All of you that I solicited for the choir, come after class, let's go." Then I knew I was almost in trouble. So I left and went to the choir. The same choir director was there. He was stopped in the middle of singing and share the gospel.
Mm.
And I was like, no, I don't like it. I don't like it. In my whole family, nobody went to church except Christmas or Easter, provided we have new clothes. So the whole family, the young siblings were full of anger because of our dad's death. Our dad was alive. He would come and would laugh, would do all the things. And so the house became so empty without him. So Teacher Rachel, when she took me back to the choir, the same choir director began to teach again. I remember 2 weeks later, this choir director began to preach. And for some reason, it's like that evening, my life turned around. I felt the way, when I said, I forgive, I give my life to Jesus Christ, I felt peace, I felt joy, I felt assurance. I felt even if I died there, I'll be in the hands of Jesus. For some reason, I felt this peace, this assurance. I felt, before that decision, I thought I was going to be a hostage of all my past. But when I forgave, the choir director was so nice to me and his wife. They began to mentor me, teach me the word of God, teach me how to pray, and teach me how to go back and share the same news to my siblings. And whenever I would share with them, they're okay. But whenever I brought the thing of forgiving those who murdered my parents, the whole meeting would be adjourned.
Pastor, so, so good what you're sharing, and so much. We're going to take a quick break, but you know, you talk about really forgiving. I mean, that is the extent to which you had to lay down the pain that you were feeling. And then, you know, praise God for those around us in our lives who, you know, teacher Rachels of our lives, who are going to take us to that the foot of the cross, even if we don't want to, or we may get a spanking. I don't know. But, you know, the people that will continue to speak Jesus into our life, and through that pain, we can come to know him. We're going to come right back. We're here with Pastor Emmanuel. What an amazing story he has of restoration and forgiveness. Please stay with us. We're with the Good Life Radio. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha Lani Ka'a here with Suzanne Maurer. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are here at the Good Life Radio Show. We're going to continue our discussion in a moment, but if you would like to hear today's program again or share it front to back, because it is an amazing story of God's redemption and love, how he can teach us to forgive. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can listen to it there. You can download it. You can share it with somebody. If God's placing someone on your heart and saying, you know what, this person has to hear it, go ahead and download it or share the link so that they too can really hear Pastor's story. We're here with Pastor Emmanuel Mutangana. He is Rwandan, but raised in Uganda. Along with his family, lost his father and several family members during a mass genocide that occurred. But this genocide has been going on for decades and decades, and there's decades of people who have walked in the pain that Pastor Emmanuel talks about. And right before we went to break, Pastor was sharing with us about how he was pursued, I believe, by God through the people in his school, his teacher and his choir director, to learn forgiveness. And what did that look like? And so, Pastor, you explained to us that you received that blessing and freedom that comes with forgiveness. Talk about what that meant for you going forward.
Oh, that was that there is no. I always tell people, when Jesus comes into your life, mm-hmm. really, really, like he comes into your life, it is the best thing that ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I didn't die in the genocide and I lived, and if I had not met Jesus, I believe I'll still be dead. If I'll still be alive, but I'll still be dead inside.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jesus came into my life, when I gave my life to Jesus and I chose to forgive, the one thing that happened to me, I was one day praying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name," the Lord's Prayer.
Yes.
Then I got to a place where it says, "Forgive us mm-hmm. of our trespasses as we forgive." And I was like, "You forgive us as we forgive." And I was like, "Wow, Lord, I need to release anybody who participated in the murder of my relatives, who brought Rwanda to total mess and who did this. I want to have your heart." And as I was contemplating on that, and then it's like I had this mental picture of seeing Jesus, who had done nothing wrong. Actually, he did good everywhere he went,
mm-hmm.
and how people killed him, and yet he said, "Forgive them, mm-hmm. for they don't know what they're doing." And I said, "Lord, I want to be like you. I want to know you, but give me your strength." So when that came into my heart, I had so much joy. In classes, I began to focus. I began to do so well in my studies.
Mm.
And teachers began to be my friends because I was like, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. I forgive, Lord. I forgive. And I want to love like you love. So when it came into my life, even I had one uncle, one day we were having breakfast in the morning. So he's like, "Emmanuel, if you meet those who murdered your dad, what are you going to say?" I said, "Uncle, I'm going to forgive because..." And he threw down the spoon and said, "Nuts, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. How could you say that?" And I said, "Because Jesus has given me freedom. He's mm-hmm. given me peace." And so Jesus gave me this peace to know that how it looks like. One day I met one of the guys who were masterminders to my dad's death. And when I saw him, the first thing when I looked in his eyes, I felt compassion.
Mm.
And so because when I was 12, I was going to join the army. And so that I pursue those who killed my dad
mm-hmm.
but and revenge for him. But this time when I looked at when they said that's the guy, and I looked at him, all I had was compassion. I said, if I had the same heart I was developing at 12 years to do this, because he was there with his kids and his wife. Mm. I said, all these kids will be orphans today. Mm. And I had this like compassion. And people ask me today, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is when you look at your offender and you're not moved with anger and rage, but you're moved with compassion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moved with compassion. Mm. That's what Jesus can do in a heart. So that's why I actually made this decision. And I said, Lord, if you give me life, I have nothing I can give you, but I want to serve you. I want to serve you because at that time, I can't explain to you what my dad was. He was like God to us. When he died, I thought the whole world has grown dark because I thought I have no future. Mm. He used to come and teach us and make us laugh, and with him, I felt like invincible. Now he's gone. I'm like, I have no future. Mm. But when Jesus, my faith in Jesus Christ came, I used not to go to church. I used to go once in a while. But this time, when Jesus came into my heart, I started to go to church every day, every day, until my relatives thought the guy has gone crazy. Who goes to church every day? The guy has gone crazy. So they started to call for intervention. And I remember they wanted to move me from the city where we were, take us far away from this church we were going. And I was like, no. And they came on a pretense that they don't have tuition to pay for me. Mm. And I remember I went to church and said, Master, they want to take me because they don't have tuition. And so I'm going to trust you to give me tuition. And we were doing national exams. And Jesus gave me wisdom. I did so well that I got a scholarship. I got a scholarship to study free. And so they're like, wow, this guy, this is not Jesus. This, you're not Jesus. They thought I have some, they call them Muzungu. Muzungu in East Africa is called white people. They say, this must be white people behind you. I was like, no, this is Jesus. This is because the ones who gave me scholarship where fellow Africans was an African company. And I said, like, it was Jesus. So they began to watch me closely and my uncles. And I said, guys, this is the best thing. Even David, when he encountered this God, you can see it in the Psalms he writes. He is amazing. So I began to even learn how to play piano. Mm. At that time, there was a missionary teacher from England called Fiona Carr. She began to teach me to play piano, like classical piano and all this stuff. And I felt so joy. I'd be practicing. I said, Lord, if you give me grace to learn this, I'll use this to sing your praise all my days.
Mm.
And so Jesus, most people talk about Jesus as maybe because they grew up in a Christian family, or maybe in a Christian nation or something. No, he's somebody, he can give you peace. I did not know how to pray. So I'll just walk in the road and say, hey, Jesus, what's up? It's too hot. Can you turn the heat down? Just like that kind of like, and man, I had just so much joy. And I would see, and I'll be crying, not because I'm sad. I'm like, how could you love me this way? Mm-hmm. How could you love me? Because I thought I was going to be full of sadness and sorrow because of my father's death.
Mm-hmm.
But the opposite happened. I walk full of joy, full of peace, to a point even in Rwanda where my tribe had been killed by this other tribe. And when I came, I told them, because you couldn't just go to the elderly people, it would be difficult. So I decided to gather young kids from Hutu, from Tutsi, and I'll gather them and I'll play piano. They will sit there and the parents will come sit around. And these come from different tribes. And so we called ourselves the Prince of Peace Choir in Rwanda.
Mm.
So we began to sing together. This choir is involved, the Hutus and Tutsis, but you can never know which one is which. Mm. Because of the love of Jesus that is in the midst of them.
Wow.
I'm telling you, Jesus is so, so wonderful mm-hmm. that he empathizes. He gave me peace, and I can testify that he gave me freedom inside. So forgiveness is when you look at your offender and you're not drawn by rage, yeah. anger, and bitterness, mm-hmm. but you're drawn by, like, Lord, forgive them. Mm-hmm. It happens, and it's real, and I've tasted God's love.
Yeah. So, Pastor, that you were able to receive that and to experience that and to then mm-hmm. grow from it. And then you somehow came to America. And I'm interested to hear how that happened, because here you are, you're in Uganda, right? So
he was in Rwanda.
In Rwanda. Oh. So because I moved back to a country to see if some of my relatives are still alive, and my mom had gone in. So I was in Rwanda. We were there. Like, I've seen Rwanda come from ashes. I'm from like a nothing, and we used to pray and say, God, restore this land. God hears prayer. But so I was in Rwanda, and I was, remember the small group of the Prince of Peace Choir?
Yes.
So we used to gather in this rundown church building, and I was in this building. There was this old piano/organ. So I used to gather together every time I feel like I want to get close to God. I go where there's a piano and begin to worship alone and sing. Could be there for hours. And there was a lady. She was seated at the church, at that church steps outside in the dark, and she was listening to the voice inside. When I came out, I thought she was either Arab or Indian, her skin complexion. And she said, come here, let's go sit there where there's light. So we sat down and said, the reason I was seated here was just listening to you. Mm-hmm. And I was singing this song, Majesty, worship is majesty.
One of my favorites.
Awesome. Pastor Emmanuel, we're gonna take a quick break. Thank you for singing, because in our next segment, we're actually going to hear one of your worship songs, because that start in the choir and that time on that piano has blossomed by God's grace.
And we have to hear what happened with the lady.
Amazing life of worship for you. But you share that now. You share that with so many others, and we want to hear that. Well, we're going to come back with Pastor Emmanuel Muntangana. He is pastoring a church, River City Church in Washington, D.C. He is also an amazing worship leader, has his own album, and we're going to hear a little bit of it when we come back. So please stay with us. You'll want to hear Pastor sing.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com, Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a here with Suzanne Maurer. We have a special guest today, Pastor Emmanuel Muntangana. He grew in his love for the Lord back in Rwanda, learned a great lesson from God about forgiveness, and is learning to praise and worship the Lord in a way that is just individual, but intimate. Intimate, that's the word I want to use. We're going to hear a little bit of his music later on, but we were in the middle of a story about you meeting a woman and how that changed your life.
Yes. Her name was Johanna. Johanna, she was about 60 years old, and she had just come to Rwanda, and she was Israeli girl, and she was also an orphan in Israel. And she met, her mom was a Dutch missionary in Israel, and she had adopted some about 8 girls. And so she came to Rwanda, and she told me she's Jewish. And I was like, ah, I never met anybody from Israel. Until that time, apart from just reading in the Bible, I was like, what? So we started to talk. That evening became so live. And she says, you come, you come. So I came to her room. She prayed for me. She asked her, what are you doing in Rwanda? She had just come to the city and with other friends of hers from Tennessee to encourage pastors in Rwanda. And this is 1998. And so she began to share with me her life. And she lives in she lived here in America. Mm-hmm. And her dad was a Bible teacher, and she called her dad because her dad was living in Israel. He's an adopted dad. He's not a biological dad. He was an adopted dad. And he says, yeah, I've been to Africa. And he says, wow, there's no family that is complete without an African. And so they're like, yeah, keep mentoring that young man. So they asked me, they wanted to buy me a car around that time, because man, I was beside myself. Get a car in a dusty roads of the country where I was really beside myself. But I went again, I asked Jesus and said, Lord, what do you want me? I'm too excited for the car. I never want anything greater than you. So that day told me, you don't need a car. You need to go back to school. You need to go back to school. So I told them, I don't need a car. I need to go back to school. They're like, my goodness, we've been coming to Africa. Everybody would die to have a car. And for that reason, you're going to be a son. So there's a university in Nairobi, Kenya. It's called Daystar University. It was started by an American missionary. And so it's a very great university. So they flew me to Nairobi, Kenya to do tests and essays. I did. And by the grace of God, I was able to pass and got enrolled in the university. So, but before then, they were very kind to me. The gentleman, Johanna's dad, ended up dying about maybe 4 years ago. He was about almost 85. So he said, young man, God will use you. you need to go to United States. You need to go to United States because they have been here in the United States. So they knew some universities here and some Bible college. So they got a Bible college in Minnesota, So from, I always tease people, say from a tropical climate to Eskimo kind of climate. It was crazy, into cold. So that's how I get up here in the United States, and as I'm praying, and I'm like, Lord. But something I didn't mention is, strangely, in when I was 14 years old, I had this, feeling that one day I'm going to preach in the United States. Wow. So, and when I was in Rwanda, because I was leading young people to Jesus and all this, they say, start a church. I was like, no, God told me my ministry is in the U.S. Yes, it will reach back here, but it's in the U.S. So when God opens the U.S. door, that was like God confirming what he told me at 14 years old.
That's awesome.
At 14 years old. And so I came here to school, and God did amazing things. And people in America were so kind to me, were so nice to me, and are still so nice to me. And God has always led me through the right kind of people, believers. And so in coming to the United, to Washington, D.C., I was in California at a friend's wedding, and I met a gentleman called Tony Parkin. He's a president of Family Research Council. And he said, hey, we're giving a scholarship to do internship with the Congress. It's into public policy. And you have to do some tests, writing essays. If you pass, then you can come. So took the cards, went to their website, did the test, and they told me I successfully passed. Then I came to D.C. And I came to D.C. But when coming to D.C., when I was in America, majority of the people I met were missionaries. So very kind, very... man, you will not find them doing some cuckoo stuff. But when I came to U.S., man, I saw cuckoo stuff, and I was like, Jesus, have mercy on the people. So,
amen. So when you come to D.C., you came and you studied, but you also had a heart to pastor, to grow a church and a ministry. What was that about?
Oh, man, that one was so... I didn't want a church where it's going to be African church or black church. I wanted the church. I said, God, if for sure you're in me, if you're real, white people will say, yes, I see Jesus. Black people will say the same. Indians will say the same. Hispanics. So I wanted a place where truly the love of Jesus will be made manifest. So and I was looking for a name, and I was asking God for a name. And I found the name in Genesis, in Ezekiel, and in Book of Psalms, and Matthew, John, and Revelation. And so Jesus said he's the river of life. And he said, out of our bellies shall flow streams of living water. And I found out in Psalms, David says in Psalms 27, 46, he says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. So I'm like, Jesus is the main river, and we're the tributaries, the branches of this main river. And wherever they flow, they make glad the city. So I'm like, Lord. So that's why we called it River City Church.
And River, you opened City that Church. In 2010, I think. I read somewhere that you recently really launched that church. You're coming to its 10th anniversary. As you come onto this. And then you also did worship, and I know we promised that we would play one of your songs. So before we go to break, we really want to kind of play, and then maybe when we come back from break, you can tell us a little bit more about the album and about the music, because you've written all the songs on the album, and the album is You Encourage Me. Is that correct?
You Encourage Me.
The song we want to play for our audience is called I Need You, Lord. And I Need You, Lord, one of the most amazing worship songs among all of them. We want to play that. And when we come back from break, let's talk a little bit more about that album and about the work that you're doing going forward.
Amen.
Yeah. So take a listen. We're going to hear I Need You, Lord, Pastor Emmanuel Muntangana.
Lord, I need you like the morning needs the sun. Lord, I need you like the days that need the rain. Lord, I need you like the restless man needs the peace. Like the morning needs the sun. Lord, I need you. Like the days that need the rain. Lord, I need you. Like the restless man needs the peace. Lord, I need you. Guide me.
Thank you. In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha, aloha, Lani Ka'a here. We are in studio for Danny Yamashiro today. I'm here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. Having a wonderful conversation. We just broke right before the last break. We heard an amazing worship song written by Pastor Emmanuel Muntangana. He is with us today. It's from his album called You Encourage Me. Lord, I Need You. There are many other worship songs. You can check that out and you can go ahead and download the worship album on iTunes. On Amazon, you can find it. Again, look for Pastor Emmanuel Muntangana and his album, You Encourage Me, and listen to some of the words of that song. It comes from a heart that has truly learned the depth of love of Christ. So we are so blessed to have you today. Once again, you are a pastor of River City Church. You've got a worship album, which is reaching hearts across the world. And today you really have a worldwide ministry. And you are bringing the Lord to countries and filling stadiums that they might hear who he is and would know him. So tell us, what is that? What is that like? What are you doing? What does God have you doing?
Amen. What God has put on my heart is like to make Jesus happy, to make Jesus full of joy. And whenever I go to minister, be it here in the United States, Canada, Israel, and Asia, I want people to see Jesus. Nobody can meet Jesus and stay the same, and nobody can see him and resist him because they haven't been satisfied. Because, for example, that album, You Encourage Me, when I wrote some of those songs, I was in prayer, and God will give me this. And my prayer always is, Lord, in the good and in the loss, help me to never forget you, Lord, to always have you being the need of my life, Lord. Let me never get to a point and feel satisfied. But for I developed a love for Israel for many reasons. One is where Jesus was born, where my faith comes from, Abraham, all the patriarchs in the Bible. But the other places we go, the stadiums that we did, I'm not the one who does them, but the people who organize them invite me to come. For example, about a few years ago, I was with the Women of Faith. I don't know if the Women of Faith, and they invited me to in all this majority of the meetings they had in the arenas here in the United States, and we were I just came and told them about what Jesus did in my life, told them what Jesus is, and there is nothing that brings me joy. I met about 4 or 5 people who were about to go commit suicide. And they came to me and told me, listen, after hearing from you, and this they didn't tell me that night we were doing, this is probably after like a year. And I'll meet them, or they'll ask for my info, and they'll write me and say, there was this night you were here speaking, and I was about to go to commit suicide. But that day, I heard you speak, and I said, there is hope for me. And I just wanted to encourage you and say that when you spoke that night, maybe it was because of me. And so because of that, it brought me more joy to go minister. I just came from Trinidad, and we were ministering in Trinidad. And there was families that could not speak to each other. And I remember sharing this and telling them forgiveness is possible, not because of a human endeavor, but when you let Jesus come, he says all things are possible with him. So he can. And there was great celebration, families reconciling, people coming together. And so that's like my motivation going into these places to minister. Last year, October, we were in Japan again, and we were invited to speak before the government officials in Japan. And again, we're just sharing the story, the what Jesus is. And I tell people, Jesus is not a set of ideas or liturgical repetitions. He's somebody. You can talk to him. And so I was sharing with them, and there was a gentleman that was there, and he was telling me, I've been battling suicide, I've been fighting suicide, and please, here is my number, let's keep in touch. Let's keep in touch. And so that is what encourages me more. And also the mere fact of, like, Israel, we try to make it a point, we go to Israel every year at our church, and the reason is God has given us, like, love for Israel. And there are pastors there we try to encourage, but not only pastors, but we also try to encourage Holocaust survivors. And yes, last week, actually have an awesome testimony. Last week, I was at the Jewish United States Holocaust Museum here in D.C., and we had the honor, they brought a Holocaust survivor. Her name is Aggie Ajeva. And she, during the Holocaust in Auschwitz, she was 14 years old, and she's now almost 90. And she was telling me, Emmanuel, one thing I can teach you that I learned from all this, I'll tell young people, is to learn to be disciplined enough to look up to somebody.
That's so good. That's so
and
good.
She stayed, yeah, she stayed because she looked up to her mom, and that's how she survived the Holocaust. And she said if her mom told her to jump off the building, she would have done it. Said, be disciplined enough to look up to somebody. And so so Israel, we go and we stay in a kibbutz or in hotels, and trying to encourage people as we could find, tell them about Jesus and their pastors there. We try to encourage and praying also for Israel. And I mean, there's so many times we're so short to share like all that is happening. We've seen people. I remember I met a gentleman and he told me, hey, I am a racist. And I said, no, you're a liar. You're not. Later on, I found out he had been abused and he had unforgiveness. Mm. And man, that day we hugged. He's a white guy from Wisconsin. Wow. We hugged and said, yeah, you're my brother. And I said, yes, you go tell others what Jesus has done, what Jesus has done in your life. Mm-hmm. So if you want me to have like an all-night prayer, tell me to tell you about Jesus. He's the best thing that ever happened to me.
So good. We're running out of time. I'm so sorry, but I do want to ask you to pray. I mean there are so many that live with a bit of unforgiveness or a lot of unforgiveness, and would you pray for our listeners?
Okay,
share his love.
Yeah. Amen. Dear wonderful Jesus, I thank you for this privilege and honor to speak to your people with my sisters, Lord, on this Good Life Radio. Let this life radio that is good permeate their lives. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, I ask you to give strength to everyone struggling relationally, interpersonal relationships, families, husbands, children, everybody, Lord, even government officials, whoever is there listening to us today. And he says, I doubt whether this is true. Lord, you prove it to them. Mm. If they're humble enough, Lord, in their bedrooms where no one is watching, and you and them, Jesus, do this miracle that they'll be a witness for you as well. I pray for this supernatural ability to forgive and to love. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Mm-hmm. I pray, Lord, that those who have no hope, have no family, help them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Emmanuel.
Pastor
this
Emmanuel.
Has been wonderful.
Amen.
So good.
Amen.
So good to have you, Pastor. We know you're coming to Hawaii.
Yes.
We look forward to the Aloha Spirit coming. We are definitely looking forward to having you here. We thank you so much for sharing your testimony and for just moving and changing lives for Jesus Christ. Inspiring words. Inspiring words from Pastor Emmanuel Muntangana. Thank you. There is no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus Christ with somebody near you. If you haven't done so for yourself, if you want to get to know him better, now is the time. Open your heart to him. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click on Get to Know Jesus. To help us with any financial support, making a donation, especially pray. Pray for our organization, thegoodlifehawaii.com. We could definitely use your covering and prayers. 1 John 4:16 says, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them." It is always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to our guest, Pastor Emmanuel Muntangana. Until next time, along with my co-host and guest coordinator, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Lani Ka'a'a. We're sitting in studio for Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the good life is about the Lord being with you. Let him unleash your God-given purposes today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.